Blog Talk Radio.
Pour yourself a cup of tea, put your feet up, and relax. Show host Randy Fine, narcissistic abuse expert, compassionate counselor for clients worldwide, and author of the groundbreaking new book, Close Encounters of the Worst Kind, invites you into her sanctuary, a place where your emotional, physical, and spiritual well-being are all that matters. To Heal is a fundraising single written and performed by Johnny Z for the Amy Winehouse Foundation. For more information, please go to johnnymusic.com, johnnymusic.com. And now, it's time to meet Randy, show host of the podcast enjoyed by fans around the globe, A Fine Time for Healing.
Good morning. Thank you for tuning in to listen to A Fine Time for Healing. This is your show host, Randy Fine. Countless people grapple with persistent, perplexing, and self-sabotaging patterns, from compulsions to commitment issues to irrational fears and prejudices. Countless people have remarkable natural-born talents, uncanny flashes of perception, and mysterious memories of distant places and times. In her work as a therapist, today's special guest, Anne C. Barnum, specializes in delving into a common source for confounding problem behaviors, incredible gifts, and an intimate sense of events that happened decades, centuries, or even millennia ago. Past life experiences. I know your ears are all perking up when you hear that, because that's all very exciting. In her book, The Past Life Perspective, Discovering Your True Nature Across Multiple Lifetimes, Anne demystifies the practice and power of past life regression therapy. An internationally certified regression therapist, the author has dedicated nearly 20 years to a professional discipline increasingly recognized for its potential to help clients work through troubling issues and overcome haunting demons. So now that your ears are perked up, let's get going. I'm going to introduce you. Good morning, Anne. How are you?
Good morning, Randy. I'm doing great this morning.
Good. I'm so happy to have you as my guest today. This is a topic that I know my listeners love, and I personally love too. So I want to talk about it. So you went from a therapist to a past life regression therapist, or in addition to a past life regression therapist. And how did you make that transition?
Well, I had an interest in reincarnation and prior lifetimes for many, many, many years. But when I went into the counseling profession, it didn't really occur to me at that point that that might be a direction I would want to go. But after a certain number of years doing more conventional counseling, I just got one of those messages that there was something additional for me to be doing. And it occurred, you know, it's like sometimes when you get the feeling that you're getting a communication from the spirit realm, just says, oh, you could go do this now. And it was one of those kinds of things for me, was like, you could do regression therapy. And it's like, oh, what a brilliant idea. Let's look into that. And actually what I found, it's an approach to working with people that offers an opportunity for very rapid change that's really rather painless for the client, and that doesn't require a lot of effort on their part as far as some program that you have to do afterwards for change, and also dips into some really deep spiritual experiences for the client, and is also just really fun and fascinating to do. So I found that it was very, very effective for a lot of enduring issues that counseling clients maybe had been working on for several years without really seeing too much change in their situation. And also even for some physical issues that people had been plagued with that, you know, conventional medicine was saying, well, there's no good reason for you to have this pain, but they still had that pain. So many, many wonderful benefits to doing this work.
So does someone have to believe that they've had past lives in order to be regressed?
You know, that's really one of the fascinating aspects of it is, no, they don't have to believe. I think if someone were to come in absolutely 100% convinced that there is no such thing and this is not going to work for them and this is a bunch of hooey, then of course coming in with that assumption, they would probably not be too successful. But I've had many, many clients who come in saying, I don't really know what I think about this, or I'm not sure I believe it, or I've even worked with some members of the media who have been quite skeptical, but are like, okay, I'm game, let's give it a try. And we've ended up having very successful sessions. So it's really pretty amazing. You can always consider what comes up as just a very elaborate therapeutic metaphor for whatever's going on in your life. And it seems to unlock issues and get energy moving and dip into some really wonderful areas of inspiration and insight that we don't get otherwise. So I kind of look at it and say, you know, doesn't really matter if you truly believe you've pulled up a past life or not, but guess what? This works. So from a therapeutic standpoint, it doesn't really matter. And one of the fun stories I even talk about in my book is where I had a couple come to see me from, oh, they were about 2.5 hours away, so they decide they want to come see me in person rather than do a remote session. And the wife was very much convinced about past lives. The husband was like, I don't know, this is kind of nuts. But the wife kept insisting that she wanted him to have a session also. So he's like, what the heck? I guess in order to buy peace on the drive home, he said, I'll do it, whatever.
Right.
You know, and he ended up having a very profound past life session where he got in touch with his father who had recently passed away, where they were together as fighting men in a prior lifetime. And it was very, very meaningful for him. And in reality, his sessions, I think, actually had more of an impact on him than his wife's session had on her. So
amazing. That's really amazing. And I'm sure you love that because it so validates what you're doing. I told you.
Right. It's so much fun when it's with someone who's like, you know, really, come on. Okay, I'll just do this because she said I should do this, but, you know, I don't think I'm getting anything out of this. And then,
right. And boom.
It's so profound for him. Yeah, that's really great.
Yeah. So I've been under hypnosis several times. As I told you, before we went on air, that I was regressed for past lives, and I got a very, very little bit out of it. And we're going to talk about that in a little while. But what I wanted to know is the other times that I've been under hypnosis, I feel fully aware of what's going on. And I don't feel like I'm altered. So is that the experience that the average person has?
Yeah, that's pretty similar, actually, to the way a lot of people feel. So in my work, I'm using just a pretty light level of hypnosis because we're having conversation back and forth the entire time. All of the past life memories are coming out of the client's unconscious mind. It's not like an experience with a psychic where the practitioner is telling you what they see. But instead, this is all coming out of you, the client, and I am just sort of the tour guide in terms of let's go see the house where you live, or let's go through an average day, or let's go to the next significant event. So I'm guiding you around. We're having conversation back and forth, so I need to know everything that the client's experiencing so that I know how to work with them. So I have many, many clients who will tell me, you know, after we're done with the session, they're like, gee, that was fascinating, but I don't think I was really hypnotized. And they'll say, how long did that take? About 20 minutes? And then I'll say, well, no, that was an hour and a half. So just the fact that their whole perception of time is so off speaks to the fact that they were in some kind of altered state. But we don't need to go really deep in order up the past life memories, because a lot of this material is actually a lot closer to the surface than we realize. So even when we're going through our everyday life, we may have that sense of deja vu, or we meet someone and have this immediate feeling of affinity and as if we've known them forever, or we're using certain skills, or even whatever comes up with what we label as our imagination. Very often this is past life material, maybe that's floating up and we just don't know that's what's going on. So it really feels like if someone is used to meditating or doing some sort of yoga or any kind of practice like Qigong or something where you're just focusing a little more inward instead of paying attention to what's going on around you, that's the kind of feeling that you usually will have when we're doing a regression session. So you're still aware of what's going on in the room around you. It's just that you're also at the same time having this story going that's really pulling you in. And many clients will experience that story visually, like pictures in their mind's eye. But not everyone does. So for some people, it's more just like this intuitive download where all of a sudden here's this story going in their head. They don't know where it came from, but they know that they're in a carriage that's, you know, rolling over cobblestones, and they hear the clip of the horse's hooves, and they're feeling the jostling of the carriage, and they realize they're dressed in this fancy ball gown. And, you know, it rolls out from there, but it's not that they're seeing it as much as they just all of a sudden know it. So we experience it in different ways.
Yeah, actually, I was going to ask you that question. And what I was going to ask you is, do people who have a better ability to imagine things see things more vividly, or it doesn't really correlate to your imagination or your waking life?
Yeah, you would think that it would, but my experience over these many, many years has been not necessarily. So sometimes, you know, I'll talk with my client for roughly half an hour or so before we actually go into the regression. And sometimes I'll have people that, you know, in my mind, I'm thinking, well, this person really isn't very introspective, or they haven't really done too much work on themselves. I'm not sure quite how this will go. And we'll get into the session, and boom, they're deep into it immediately. They're making amazing connections. They, when we go into the spiritual space, they are bringing down amazing spiritual truths and the whole thing. So it's like you can't really know in advance what the experience is going to be for each individual. And usually if someone is, you know, at least used to doing some meditation or doing some quieting of the mind and going inward, then usually that means it's going to be a little easier for them to go in, but not always. So,
do we remember these things when we come out? Do we remember exactly what we saw, felt, heard?
Yes. I've only, in all the years that I've done this, I've only had one client who didn't remember right away after the session, and it was because what came up was so startling to him that his current personality couldn't quite accept it, and he went back to a lifetime where he was a Nazi. And his current, you know, ego self was just like, no way, that's not possible. And it took him about a week, and this was someone who I had been working with in conventional therapy as well, so I knew that we would be able to continue processing this and work it through. But it took him about a week before he remembered it. Everyone else that I've worked with, yes, they recall everything that happened in the session, and then I do also record it for them so that they can go back and listen to all the detail if they want. But part of the beauty of it is that the really key important things that came up, often, you know, it's working on a very deep level and causing shifts, even in the unconscious psyche, that we don't even have to quite understand what's going on, but something shifts or changes, and the client realizes maybe a couple months later that that whole issue has kind of just gone away, and they haven't even really been focusing on changing it or thinking about it, or that, you know, some new energy all of a sudden is coming up, and they're finding themselves going in new directions since the session that they hadn't really planned. So a lot of it kind of works underground, you know, in some really wonderful ways.
Right, right. Your unconscious mind or subconscious mind is doing all the work for you. And
exactly.
I mean, doesn't our unconscious mind really process a lot of stuff for us that we're not aware of anyway?
Yes. Yes, that's quite true. Yeah.
Right.
So,
So there's obviously emotions that come up in these experiences. Do we leave those emotions behind when we wake up?
Well, part of that has to do with the practitioner that you're working with and how good a job they do at helping you process that out. So I have had some people come to me saying that they'd done a regression with someone else and that it left them very unsettled and kind of raw. And I'm always very, very careful. This is one of the things that anyone who does this work, I think that's one of the reasons it's really helpful to have a conventional counseling background, because you know how to work with feelings and emotions and trauma and things that come up for people, and to really help them work that through and come to conclusions. So I'm always careful with a client where we go to maybe something really unsettling or disturbing in a prior lifetime, that we process that so that it's not left hanging. But that's true with any kind of therapeutic work, is you want to make sure that you come to completion on what you're doing, that you don't just go, oh, look, isn't that nice? You got abused when you were 3 years old. That's why you feel so, you know, so upset. And then move on, you know? It's like, no, you need to process it. You need to give people skills and tools and spend whatever time is necessary. So there are times when the feelings that come up in the regression are very strong. Like, for instance, maybe prior personality lost their entire family in a fire, and, you know, they spend the rest of their life depressed and feeling guilty because they weren't there to help get anybody out. And those feelings need to come to the surface and be recognized and acknowledged and then and dealt with and cleansed out. But then once we do that, it's not carried forward. And that might have been something that that past life experience perhaps had been something that was causing depression in the current life. And so by going back and actually seeing what that origin was, what happened, and being able to vent and give voice to the feelings that weren't dealt with in the prior life, that releases the depression in the current life.
So our unconscious mind protects us, you know, in day to day, and it doesn't really allow us to have floods of emotion that we can't deal with, that we're not prepared to deal with.
Correct.
So is the same, so is it working the same way in a past regression, in past regression therapy, where it's not allowing you to experience something that's beyond your scope of dealing with?
Absolutely. So I have never had a client freak out, you know, in a session, go tearing out of the room saying, I can't deal with it. And as I share with people, you'll know when you're ready to do this work. If it keeps kind of coming up in your mind, like, maybe I'd like to do that, or if there's a particular issue that keeps kind of nagging at you that, that you'd like to resolve, and your higher self or your, you know, unconscious mind or whatever we want to call it will absolutely not allow you to see something that you're not ready to see. So if someone comes in wanting to work on a certain thing and ends up being blocked about that, but something else comes up, it probably means either that they weren't ready to see what was going on with the other issue, or that the one that did come up instead was even more important for them to see. So I always trust the process and the client's inner knowing that's going to guide where we go and what they do or do not see.
In Chapter 13, you talk about how our relationships transcend time, and that the idea of traveling through eternity with soul groups and playing different roles in each lifetime. Can you talk a little bit about that and what your belief is with that?
Sure. So most past life practitioners, we have this term we call your soul group, which are other individuals that you have very strong connections with that you like to share experiences on the planet with, so that you'll come together lifetime after lifetime in different dynamics, usually, in order to be together, to be able to have those love connections again, and to be able to experience on the planet together. It doesn't mean that every single lifetime that you'll be together, but you will continue to re-encounter each other. And so very often what will happen is in one lifetime you might be spouses, and then another lifetime you might be parent and child, and then another lifetime you might be business partners, and maybe in another lifetime you're enemies, because it turns out that sometimes the people that we're most closely connected with, we also decide that we have a growth edge that we want to work on, so that, you know, we're deciding on a higher kind of soul level, but maybe one of us really wants to work on learning compassion or understanding or patience. And so this other individual will agree to be the thorn in our side that causes us to develop those qualities. So what it does is it really enriches our understanding of our relationships now with people, because we can look at our family members, our close friends, and maybe business partners, and even those people with whom we just have a really challenging relationship. And we can understand that we're working on patterns together, or we've been together before, and there's a large continuum here, and we have a much more enduring connection even than just in this current life. I had an interesting example with a client who came in because she worked for a chiropractor who was essentially running his business and himself into the ground. He was addicted to drugs. He was using them secretly, but he was destroying his business, and she kept wanting to leave and get a different job because she knew that this was not a good place for her to be. But she had this sense that she had to save him from himself somehow, which seemed pretty illogical. This was just her employer, right? And even though she may have been fond of him, it was like, this is ridiculous. He's, you know, destroying himself and his business. Why don't you go get a new job? So she wanted to do a regression on that connection with him, and we went to a prior life in Spain some centuries ago where she was his mother, and he was very depressed about something, and she came home and found that he had hung himself in the barn of their ranch, and she felt incredibly guilty, of course, as his mother, that she wasn't aware that he was that upset, or that, you know, she hadn't been able to help him or stop him. And so seeing that and understanding that that whole sense of guilt and responsibility and wanting to save him from himself originated in that prior life experience and did not need to apply any longer, she then felt relieved of that responsibility and went and got a better job right away. So,
that's awesome. That's so cool.
Yeah.
You know, as someone who deals with, you know, my specialty is in narcissistic personality disorder abuse, and in dealing with, you know, people who have very, very difficult people in their life, myself included, I find the perspective of knowing that this is a soul group, and that we are helping each other out through these roles. And sometimes the worst people in our life are our closest soulmate, you know, or whatever we want to call them. And so that helps me to separate myself from the abuser and understand that there'll be a time where that person will have that role or personality. And so I think it could be very beneficial to people to understand that.
Yeah,
so,
I agree with you.
Do you use, are there different approaches to use with different people? How do you know what to do? Well, I'm sure you know out of experience, but what are the different approaches that can be used?
In terms of guiding a session?
Yes.
Okay. Well, sessions, I mean, I have a fairly standard protocol that I use with every client, where I use a relaxation, and then we do sort of a bridge over to a prior life, and then we start negotiating around in that lifetime, and then eventually going to the death. They experience that transition, and then we go to that spiritual space when we're not incarnate in a body, and we're able to access a lot of insight and higher knowledge that can help them in their current life. So that's kind of the way a session looks. As far as technique changing depending on client, it's very individual. So it's really, for me, sort of a play it by ear. Let's see what works for this person. So if I have someone who relaxes really, really quickly, really deeply, I can abbreviate the whole relaxation part and get them into the regression much sooner. If I have someone that takes longer, I'll add in more relaxation techniques or little tricks of the trade to get them to a place where they're able to access the prior life. And then as we're moving through the lifetime, different things work for different people. So some people get a lot of information really quickly. Some people will get a little bit and then get stuck. So I have a variety of different techniques to, you know, if I can't move them to the next significant event because they come up blank, then what I can do is very often I can move them ahead 2 years. You know, it doesn't make a lot of sense necessarily why one thing works and the other doesn't, but you just learn over time, I can try this technique instead and that might get it around them. Or I can give them a spirit guide to go on the journey with them so they feel safe and then we're able to go forward.
Okay.
Or it's just, there's a variety of interesting techniques that you learn over the years. And then for me, with my work, this is where my intuitive side comes in, is I'll just get the idea, oh, I bet this will work with this person. And it's not necessarily a logical decision for me. It's much more just an intuitive, this is the direction I need to go with this one.
Got it.
So, it's very individual as we're going through it.
Right, very individual. And that's why it's important, I'm sure you will agree, to do this with someone who is very experienced, because there are so many different ways that it can go. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's true. And I mean, even I have a lot of clients that come to me that have been in a group regression where even Brian Weiss still does this. He'll have a large group of about 2,000 people that he's doing a one-day kind of presentation. And he'll always throw in a group regression where he's just leading the regression. There's no interaction because there can't be. And people either get something or they don't as they're going along. And I have many, many people that come to me and said, well, I did that group regression and I didn't get anything. And they feel discouraged by that. And the truth of the matter is that's a very bad environment and venue to expect to get anything really quality, even though a few people do, as far as a regression. And that usually more than 50% of the people in any group regression don't get anything, but it doesn't mean that you're not capable. It just means that that's not a good environment for you to get it. Certainly the best way, if you're really serious about doing some past life work, is to have an experienced practitioner who knows a variety of processes and can lead you through it and help you also deal with whatever troubling aspects may come up and actually get you to them. I had one client where we were working on a case of writer's block, which, you know, seems fairly innocuous. It's like, well, yeah, I'm stuck. I can't do my writing. And we're not expecting anything hugely traumatic to come up. And we actually went to a lifetime where her hands were cut off because of a prohibited writing that she had done. And that was pretty intense when that happened. And so that's not the kind of thing you necessarily want to see when you're just playing with going into past life memories on your own.
Right.
It's really much better for things like that to have someone in the room that knows how to lead you through it and help you process it. So there are even books out there that are kind of do-it-yourself regression. And you can play with that a little bit and get some ideas of you know, maybe areas of the world or times that you've had some past lives. But you know, so it can be used as just more kind of fun and games, but to really delve into it and get the value out of doing your past life processing, you really do want to be doing it in the correct way.
Okay, good. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So if we are regressed 2 times, 3 times, each time will reveal different things? Is that how it works? Or do we go back into particular memories? Or is it, could it be either?
Well, it can be either, but and again, it depends on who the practitioner is you're working with. But in my case, my sessions run about 2.5 hours because I want to do a very, very thorough job with whatever lifetime comes up and really get everything out of it and process everything that we need to about it so that it is essentially put to rest so that we don't need to go back and see it again. So if I have a client coming in multiple times, each time we'll usually go to a different lifetime and get something either that's related to the whole theme that we were working on before, or maybe it's something entirely different that's also very important for them to see. In all my years, I've had one client who actually came back and said, I want to go back into that same lifetime because there's some other things that I want to look at about that. And I want to see if I can get more about it. But that, over 20 years of work, that's the only time that we've gone to the same lifetime. And that was because that was the intention of the client.
Also in your book, you talk about time not necessarily being linear. So, and this is something that I totally believe. I understand that time is just a kind of a man-made thing, the way we see it in a linear fashion. So how does that relate to our experiences? Would we jump around because it's not a linear experience, or how does that work?
So when I'm talking about time not being linear, that's kind of more on a higher level discussion. We get into quantum physics and all sorts of esoteric topics, and there are many people who believe that in reality everything's happening all at once and that there is no time except here on the planet. We experience as if there's time. My approach with the regression work is that conversation to the side and say it's very possible that that's true, I don't know. But since we are on the planet working within the time-space continuum, that I pretty much approach this in a somewhat linear fashion so that, we're going back in time, at least as far as the human experience relates. We're going back into different centuries, or we're moving forward.
Okay.
So I don't. What I would like to say about this is really having more to do with as a soul working on different themes or experiences. But the way I look at it is, let's use the metaphor of building a mosaic. And that on the soul level, we have this beautiful picture in mind of this mosaic that we want to create as relates to our human experiences on the planet. And each individual lifetime is one little glass in that mosaic. And we might go down to one corner and work on a portion of the picture for 2 or 3 lifetimes and start. So we might have 2 or 3 lifetimes where the theme has to do with compassion, building compassion, being compassionate, or being on the receiving end of people who aren't compassionate, so we're working on that. But then maybe we don't finish that corner, we go somewhere else, and maybe we're working on a sense of individuality and bravery, and so we have some lifetimes where we're in war, or we're out there being a pioneer, or so it's not about compassion at all. It's about very more assertive, individualistic things.
Right. Got it.
And we work
Got
on that
it. That's
a little
that's
bit,
a great
maybe.
Metaphor. Mm-hmm.
And then we go somewhere else and work on another little area. And so by the time that we're done, we've created this beautiful mosaic, and the whole picture comes together. But
okay.
Each individual lifetime, we could be jumping all over the place, working on
okay.
different pieces.
Gotcha. That's a really great way to explain it. That really helps me to understand that. Just in about a minute, you mentioned earlier that these things that we experience can be metaphors for reality. So are we really experiencing what happened, or are we experiencing a metaphor of what happened that we can interpret in this lifetime?
Well, each client gets to decide that for themselves. Part of what convinces many, many people that they did indeed go to a prior lifetime is the depth of reaction that they have in the session to whatever the experiences are, the huge emotional hits or the realizations. But it really doesn't matter from where I stand whether this truly was a prior life or whether this is a very rich metaphor, because what I've seen over the years is that it engenders deep and rapid change. And it also plugs people into a much more expanded sense of their spiritual existence and the whole human experience. So each individual gets to decide.
Okay. Thank you. So we're running out of time, but to my listeners, we are talking to Anne C. Barham about her book, The Past Life Perspective, Discovering Your True Nature Across Multiple Lifetimes. So, Anne, please tell us where we can get your book and how we can contact you.
Absolutely. Well, the book's available through most regular retail outlets. It was published by Simon & Schuster, so you can find it on Amazon or Barnes & Noble or a variety of places. And there also are links on my website, and that would also be a place where people can go if they're interested in finding out about having their own, individual past life session. So the website is Past Lives, so that's plural, one word, pastlives.org, which is O-R-G.
Okay.
And
Past,
P-A-S-T,
Past Lives?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Pastlives.org, right?
Uh-huh. And
perfect.
Quite
that's,
a bit of information
easy.
There.
That's easy, easy to remember. Fascinating stuff. I love it. Well, thank you so much. As I said, we're out of time. Unfortunately, I never have enough time. But it's really been neat talking to you. Thank you for all the information. You've answered a lot of my questions, and I always dig deeper. So thanks so much for that, and have a wonderful day.
My pleasure, Randy. All right, you too.
Thanks. Bye-bye. So we are out of time for today, but if you have any comments or questions about today's show, you can email me at loveyourlife@randygfine.com. And as always, I wish you joy and serenity in your life. Goodbye.
We hope you enjoyed today's programming. To learn more about Randy Fine, read her articles, or to make a counseling appointment with her, please visit randygfine.com. That's RANDIGFINE.com. Or visit her on Facebook at Randy G. Fine.